The Promised Land by David Brant Berg.
In chapter 13 of the book of Acts, Paul recounts, in brief, the entire history of Israel to explain the transformation of his religion and doctrine brought about by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In these passages, Paul says, "That promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled for us, their children, and that it was fulfilled in Jesus, and only Jesus, as verse 39 brings out clearly. By him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." And don't forget that word "whosoever" in verse 26. "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you who fears God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." Thank God, apparently many of the listeners received the message, according to verse 43. Many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. But this new doctrine caused such an uproar that everybody turned out the following Sabbath to hear it. Apparently, the Jewish congregation hadn't had that big a crowd in a long time, and they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. So the apostles grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.'" This made the Gentiles very happy, and they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, which shows they made very good witnesses. But also notice the chronological sequence of the gospel in verse 46, that the gospel was to be preached first to the Jews, or the Jewish congregation of that day, the people chosen to be worshipers of the true God, to give them the chance to hear it first, but also the choice to reject it, which evidently a good many of them promptly did, stirring up a lot of trouble for the apostles, who then had to leave town. The apostles promptly took off for other parts when the opposition grew too strong. But they weren't sad about it. In fact, the Bible tells us that they actually rejoiced and were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. End of story. Or perhaps we should say the beginning of a new era of history and a new phase in the revelation of the truth of God, the so-called time of the Gentiles, or as some call it, the church age, today. This did not mean that God was entirely finished with the Jewish people. It simply meant that what he'd been trying to show them all along, and what they themselves proved continually, was that they were no better than anyone else without God, and they could only be saved by his grace through faith. They had to come to God the same way as everybody else, just like the Gentiles, the despised people of their day. Salvation had always been open to the Greeks and other Gentiles, and you will find indications of this in the Old Testament. You can also see this by verse 43 of Acts 13, where many of them were present in the synagogue on the day that Paul and Barnabas split the congregation. The Gentile believers among the Jews were called proselytes, or converts to Judaism, which is proof that the kingdom was always open to those who believed, regardless of nationality or racial background. In this sense, there had been no change at all in God's plan to save whosoever among you fears God. Nothing had changed in the eyes or the mind of God. He had only further opened the eyes of believers to the truth that God is no respecter of persons. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. When the Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them by saying, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." Those who are looking for the kingdom of God to be realized on earth will only find it within their own hearts and the fellowship of the saints, the children of God. People who are looking for a more literal promised land or kingdom of heaven on this earth will have to await the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. You won't find it in earthly Israel, which, if anything, is a poor substitute for the eternal and glorious kingdom of God. In fact, Israel reminded us more of America than any other country we visited, with all its materialism, power, and armaments, its noisy traffic and air pollution, and its increasingly materialistically minded younger generation. But we have left behind the dream of a literal promised land for the reality of the kingdom of God in the hearts of men. We have been liberated from the narrow confines of earthly human limitations into the glorious truth and freedom of the realm of God's Spirit. Our vision has expanded beyond national boundaries of human origin to that of His worldwide universal church, from insignificant earthly goals to God's heavenly kingdom, from an earthly Sinai which cannot be touched to the new and heavenly Jerusalem built of living stones one by one, from the superstitious darkness of traditionalism into the glorious light of His love. As the children of God, we have heaven in our hearts, the promised land of His kingdom. Let's spread its glories abroad into the hearts of all people. This truth is so tremendous, it's almost beyond comprehension. It's a terrific transition into the fullness of the stature of God, a liberation as if from an ancient bondage, a binding tradition, with a recognition of what it means to be a son of God in all its fullness, instead of a mere child of fleshly Abraham with only an earthly home. Jesus said, "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But my kingdom is not of this world. This world is not our home, or just passing through." For by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Even though Abraham got to the earthly promised land, he never found the place he was looking for, because Israel couldn't even begin to hold it. If you want to read a description of the real thing, you'll have to turn to the grand finale of the Bible in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, the thunderous climax of the symphony of God, a place of such resplendent beauty beyond the imagination of man. As it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit." Hallelujah. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Praise His name.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.